Great. Well, I'm glad that we're all together now. I guess we'll go ahead and get started. I'm not exactly sure how many reporters are joining us this morning, but I did get several requests for the transcript afterwards, so I'm sure that this briefing will be very helpful. So I'd like to go ahead and welcome any reporters that are on the line. I am Christina Galupski, the Assistant Director of the Africa Growth Initiative here at the Brookings Institution. Before we get started, I'd like to remind everyone on the line, if you're not speaking, to please mute your phone so we can make sure that we can hear whoever is talking. Also, a reminder, this call is on the record. We're recording it, and we'll have a transcript available probably as early as tomorrow morning, although it's a Saturday, so I'm not sure yet. I will be sure to email it to everyone as well, and we'll post it on the Brookings website. In general, the call is going to go like this. I'll have Amadou speak for 5 minutes, followed by Whitney and then Vera. And I'll introduce our panel right now. Dr. Amadou C. Is a senior fellow and director here at the Africa Growth Initiative and a former deputy division chief of the Financial Surveillance Division at the IMF's Monetary and Capital Markets Department. Amadou covers trade, investment, economic growth, and financing on the continent. Whitney Schneidman is a non-resident fellow with AGI and the former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, and is an expert on U.S.-Africa relations, trade, and investment issues. And Dr. Vera Songway is a Regional Director for West and Central Africa at the International Finance Corporation and a non-resident senior fellow here at Brookings. And with that, let me just see if there's any reporters on the line. If you could just go identify yourselves and your outlet, that would be great. Okay, it seems we don't have any reporters on the line, so I guess we'll give our 5 minutes, and then maybe if someone joins us, we can take questions. So, Amadou, do you want to go first?
Yes, sure. So this is the second Africa, U.S. Africa Business Forum. The first one was 2 years ago, and to me, it's really moving from the question of why Africa to the question of how Africa. And it's also showing that how the Obama administration is adding basically a new perspective to the U.S.-Africa relations, moving a bit, complementing the view that Africa is mostly an aid recipient. You know, for example, U.S. aid budget, I mean, in Africa used to be 80% about health. So this is good, but now this is being complemented by a strengthening a relationship, investment, business relationship with Africa. The second one is that this forum, I think, is a good complement to other initiatives. For example, we all know how we need infrastructure to have anything working in a country. So it's good that initiatives like Power Africa and the Electrify Africa Act are also being complemented by this forum. And we've seen also some signs of progress in the business investment relationship between the two regions. I mean, if you look at OPIC's portfolio, you can see a big surge in the business to Africa. If you look at the Department of State, which has doubled its presence in sub-Saharan Africa with new offices in Angola, Tanzania, Ethiopia, etc., and even reinstated a position at the African Development Bank, which is good. We've seen the Presidential Advisory Council on Doing Business also giving some recommendations. One concern I have, though, is that, you know, if you look at the a challenge in Africa to create jobs and the role that SMEs play in job generation, I would have liked to see a much bigger, greater presence of SMEs. It's true that the administration have this Global Entrepreneurship Summit, which was hosted actually once in Kenya, but it would be really great to basically not just have big companies, but also include entrepreneurship, SMEs, especially in some sectors, high-growth sectors like the technology. So that's a little bit my 2 cents.
Thanks, Amadou. Whitney?
Thanks, Christina. So just to follow up on Amadou and to reinforce the point, this second U.S.-Africa Business Forum is really, I think, President Obama's swan song when it comes to Africa. And I think it's the capstone of a significant effort, not only of his administration, but I think a process that started in 2000 when the African Growth and Opportunity was passed into law. It's a process that really has resulted in trade and investment moving to the forefront of the U.S. engagement in Africa. And that is terribly important because it shows several things. It shows that there's a recognition that the private sector has an important role to play in the economic development process. It shows that the investment environment in Africa is becoming much more attractive. It's becoming easier to invest. It shows that the rule of law and transparency has improved dramatically. And it shows that the skills and the capacity and the appetite of entrepreneurs and governments for investment is really quite strong. Obviously, it's still a work in progress, but I think this forum next week will highlight this journey. Second, I think it's worthwhile to just bring up China for a second because it's on the minds of many people. I think Chinese companies have made a contribution to the continent in terms of infrastructure development, roads, ports, airports. But I think where they fall short and where American firms really excel is not just investing in Africa, but investing in the people of Africa. You know, I've yet to see a Chinese firm where there's an African CEO or an African COO or an African CFO. And I think when you look at U.S. firms, Western firms, you know, they're investing in the training, they're investing in the promotion, they're investing in the technology transfer, they're investing in the value chain. And I think I bring this up because I think it's an important dialogue to have. I don't bring it up in a critical manner, but in terms of just promoting a dialogue on what is the best way to enhance Africa's integration into the global economy. So maybe I'll stop there and pass it over to Vera.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think I just wanted to say three things. One, we are at the second conference in sort of how do you do the Africa-U.S. relationship more effectively. Clearly, Africa is still on the move, and yesterday we just launched the Lions on the Move 2.0, looking at sort of business opportunity on the continent. Between today and 2025, it's a $4 trillion business opportunity across the value chain from agro-processing through plastics, through metallics, through innovation and technology. So there is a big market there, and I think that what President Obama has seen is that, you know, you can go from aid to trade and actually make a lot more of that partnership more effective. The continent is clearly growing. We're going to be 1.1 billion by 2025. We have 24 million getting into our cities every year on the continent. So this is increased productivity, but this is also increased demand for goods and increased consumption. And basically, I think what you see is the Americans cannot lose out. The American private sector should not lose out on this new emerging market. So how do you do business effectively where we are today is, and we've seen that with Power Africa in particular. Power Africa was I think, very, very strong announcement, the fact that you needed energy to do anything on the continent and that there was a singular attention on this issue was what we needed at the time when Africa was slowing down. We have shown that it's been resilient between 2010 and 2015. That there's enough resilience on the continent, and actually now we have about 42 countries growing at 4.4%, and hopefully you will see more as we get into 2017 and the prognosis for global takeoff is becoming better. Now, how do you do business effectively? One thing I think that I'm using Power Africa as a good example is we have shown that there still needs to be government involvement, particularly in the infrastructure sector. And I think what Power Africa has been able to do using institutions like the World Bank, the IFC, OPIC, USAID, one of the big issues on the continent has been this bankability. How do you design effective projects? How do you make projects risk-free? And I think by combining the public sector and the private sector, learning from U.S. experience on public-private partnerships and how those work, transferring it onto the continent and seeing how we can effectively get independent power producers privatized, in essence, the energy sector on the continent, is something that has been amazing. We've seen, we're beginning to see results of that in Senegal, for example, where we now have a Power Africa investment. We're seeing some of that in Ghana, where Ghana, as we all know, has continues to have a big energy problem. But I think with the MCC package, which is helping to resolve some of the policy and institutional issues around investing in the energy sector, then coming behind that with private equity and some debt financing to make sure that those finance, that the projects are bankable, has been an amazing combination. And I think this is what this year's U.S. Africa Business Conference is going to be about, is how do you bring those two together? Because you do still need the public sector in many areas on the continent to improve the business environment. Having said that, I think what we have seen again in the last 5 years is that more and more African countries are in the top 10 of the doing business. We've seen Kenya, and Kenya is one of the countries now that has reduced, increased access to energy the fastest in by combining again this better policy environment. It's been in the top 10 of the doing business 2-3 times. It continues to be a good performer on that. Senegal, I just mentioned. We also have Mauritania that's doing well. And I think that this move towards improving the overall environment. Then I think one of the other things that this U.S. Africa Business Conference is doing with the public and the private sector is integrating Africa. The fact that MCC is moving now to do regional compacts on energy, on transport, because we cannot industrialize if we cannot transport, if we cannot power the industries that we want to industrialize, we want to manufacture in. And my sense is I think the singular focus on 2 or 3 things by the Obama administration on Africa have really led to a huge increase in investments in infrastructure, in a much more willingness of the U.S. private sector to come in, because they know they're coming in with some public support from the United States, but also public support from the African governments that are now willing to create that environment that will allow for huge, I mean, we have, for example, I think Blackstone that is investing now with Aliko Dangote and announcing big investments in the energy sector. We would not have had those kinds of big investments coming in across the value chain on the continent had we not had the leadership that the Obama administration, the USAID, and OPIC have shown in sort of opening up the way. I think also one of the things they have done singularly well is in doing a lot of the upstream work around climate change and solar energy and making sure that wind and solar can actually become profitable and doable on the continent. Because for that, again, you need a lot of what we call sort of free project investment work to do the studies. And Power Africa has been able to fund a lot of that grid stability work. And being able to provide that kind of public resource, which the private sector normally will not do because that becomes a public good, on the back of private sector investments from the U.S. has been one of the other ways of showing that you can actually do this well. And talking about other investors that are coming onto the continent, the Chinese, the Indians, the Turks, this is a good lesson that you can't just come in with the investment. You can also help to create the environment and actually support the creation of the environment and the markets, and you can de-risk it. Because one of the issues on the continent has been the huge risk. But if you can do some of those studies, then, you know, you can actually de-risk some of the investment, which institutions like the IFC are now working with the U.S. government to see how we can buy down some of the risk and make sure that we get more Americans and other businesses onto the continent as stopping.
Thanks, Vera. Has anybody joined the call? All right. So I guess nobody has any questions. Thank you, Vera, Amadou, and Whitney for doing this. I'll probably be in touch over the next over the next week. I told you before, I got requests for the transcripts, and Reuters asked me yesterday if I would work on setting you guys up with the reporter there on the U.S. Africa Business Forum. So thank you guys so much for coming, and have a good day.
Great. I just have a last comment. It's about, you see, this is happening at the same time as the UN General Assembly. So on the one hand, it's good to have all the heads of states together. But on the other hand, the General Assembly is really attracting a lot of attention from the press, and rightly so. So I hope that, you know, this will not overshadow the forum, and then that also the next administration will keep the momentum going and will keep this forum as a tradition in the future. Yeah. All right.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, everyone.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Bye.